morning. If you turn to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and a few verses from this chapter. This is Sunday school day. We promote our Sunday school. We've had a wonderful time with that. And Sunday school is where a lot of us learned about God. We learned about Jesus. We learned about what it means to follow God. And I learned from an old flannel graph. Miss Alice Cole would put characters up on that flannel graph. I can still see it in this church. Nowadays, we have TVs in the church and where they can learn different methods, but the same message. In short, I believe Sunday school is important. I really do. I think a lot of times it gets passed off that it's important to our young people, and it absolutely is. But let me tell you something, parents and older people like myself, it's important to us. Because when we will never quit learning all that the Bible has to say. We'll never quit learning that. So today we want to celebrate that. And the scripture that I have chosen from this, and Dan, you're going to have to keep me honest, but for our Jewish brothers and sisters, this is called the Shema. Did I do well with that? Good. And I told you I had a surprise for you today, because this passage is really the central prayers. As I was told the other day, it's one of the central prayers of our Jewish brothers and sisters. However, when you listen to the words of this, it should be the central prayer of all Christians. And so I thought it would be nice today for you to hear this as it was intended in the Hebrew language. I do not speak Hebrew, but you know what? I happen to know somebody that does. And so I'm going to ask my favorite niece. She's my only niece. But I'm going to ask Rivka if she will come up and share the Shema with you. This is going to be from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. I just want you to listen to this in the way it as the way it was intended. Thank you, sweetie.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Va'ed.
I love her. I love her. Isn't that beautiful, though? Isn't that beautiful? Let's look at it in English. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, what a wonderful time it has been in your house already, and for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus on you. Father, take away from us anything that would draw us away from the message that you have for all of us today. And if there are any here, Lord, that don't know you as their Savior, let this be the day, Father, that they come to know you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings of their life. This time is yours, Lord. Have your way in everything that is done and will not fail to praise you for it all. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think this passage, this prayer is beautiful because it provides a very simple directive on how we should live our lives, but also on how we are to train our children for a personal relationship with Almighty God that can continue in our life and in their lives and be passed on to subsequent generations. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited for July of this year. I'm not only excited because I'll probably take a vacation sometime about that time of year. I'm not only excited because it'll be another anniversary if the Lord sees fit to allow it to be another anniversary for me and Ginger, but I am going to be real excited this year because I become a granddaddy. My cousin had another grandchild this morning, and he texted me and he said, he's here, 9 pounds. I said, good gracious, he walked into the world. 9 pounds. And his response to me was, I can't wait for you to get yours. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to play with him or her, and I'm going to spoil him. And as much, Tommy's already told me, he said, you're a man of love. Said, you love everybody around you. He said, you don't know this yet. I said, yeah, Tommy, I've heard. He said, no. He said, you're going to come back to me and say, Tommy Fitzgerald told me. I know that's coming. I know I'm going to be a complete idiot over this child. I'm going to spoil this child. I'm going to do everything I can for this child. But my main goal for this child before it ever gets here is that one day in that child's life, that child comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If that doesn't happen, nothing else means anything. Nothing else means anything. So this reminds us of that. We read Moses' words to the people of Israel, and more specifically to the parents among the people of Israel. Moses goes on to tell the people that when God blessed them, that they needed to be careful not to forget him in all of their prosperity. Don't we still have that same problem today? When everything is going well, when everybody in our life is well and everything's going along just hunky-dory and we're all happy and content, God becomes like the elf on the shelf, doesn't he? He's out of sight, out of mind, but let something bad come in our life. Let us have a need. Let us get a bad doctor's report. And you know what? All of a sudden, now we're looking. We're looking for God. And Moses encourages these people, and even us today, is don't forget God when times are good. Because you know what? Like Miss Barbara and Mr. Jay used to sing, God on the mountains, the God in the valley. He's God all the time. It's a problem that was not unique to the Israelite people. It seems that no matter who or when or where people are, when God blesses us, we forget. So we need to guard against forgetting the Lord and raising up a generation of people that don't know the Lord. Need to guard against that. So how do we do that? And God gives the answers through Moses to not only to children of Israel, but also to us today. And the first thing we need to remember is we need to put the Lord first in our life. And I know you're sitting there going, well, yeah, but do we? Let's be honest. Do we put the Lord first in our life? You know what? We can't teach to another generation what we don't know. We can't pass down what we don't have. So it is an absolute necessity that we have and we maintain a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 6:5 that we read this morning says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." In other words, we need to love the Lord with everything that lies within us. With everything that we have, we need to love the Lord. Who is the Lord to you this morning? And I'm not talking about church. I know if you're like me, you love this place. I love this church. This church has been a part of my life. Ginger and I have talked about sometime in our retirement moving off of Powhatan Road because I really don't want to have my golden years, if the Lord lets me see them, staring at an industrial park. I really don't. But I got to be honest with you. I don't know what it would be like. For every day of my life, looking up the road and seeing my church. Driving down the road and seeing my church. I don't know what that would be like. I got history here. Okay? I mean, I met my wife in this church. Married her in this church. Proposed to her in this church. Dedicated my son in this church. Served in leadership in this church. Called into the ministry in this church. And now back having the privilege to pastor this church. I love this place. It's in my heart. But I'm not talking about that. We love this place, this facility, this building, this group of people. Well, what I'm talking about this morning, do we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and might? Is there evidence in our life that others can see that supports what we say about how much we love God? Does He have first place in our thoughts and in our actions and in our choices? In our business, in our home, in our marriage, in our finances, with all of our heart, soul, and might, with everything we've got, we're told we need to love the Lord. We need to put Him first in our life. The second thing He tells us is that we need to honor the Word of God in our life. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." I love what David, a man after God's own heart, says in Psalm 119. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will forget not thy word." Those are awesome words. Awesome words from a man's love for the word of God. Parents, let me challenge you as emphatically as I know how to honor the Word of God in your life. I want you to be determined in your very heart to be a lifelong student of the Word of God. You'll never exhaust His teachings. You'll never run out of stories. You'll never not find something new. You'll never come to the place where you say, "You know what, I've got it all figured out." The Word of God is a lot more than what some people call dry history. It's more than doctrine that some people call boring. It's so much more than those flannel graphs Miss Alice Cole taught me on in those Sunday school classes. The book contains the words of life. Jesus said to His disciples in John, "These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They're alive. Let me tell you something about the Bible. You will never experience anything as exciting as what you'll discover if you'll just apply yourself to study its contents. Sometimes when I am studying for a sermon or when I am studying for a particular service, I can, and I'm not telling you, I hear this in my ear, but in my very being, I can hear the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me. And I'm not a real smart man. But I know there's some things that have been revealed to me by the Holy Spirit that can only come from Him. It inspires me, it motivates me, it encourages me, it convicts me. There's a lot of times that I'm studying God's Word for a message for you. And the one I think really needs the message is me. Because I'm sitting back here in this office and I'm convicted of what I read and what I study. But it does, every time as I study the Word of God, it brings me to see the glory and the greatness of the only begotten Son of God that is only revealed in Scripture. Moses said, put God first. He said, honor God's Word. And then he said, teach the Word of God to your children. You know, let me ask you this. Raising children or grandchildren, I haven't got to that one yet, but I'm working on it. But in raising children, have you ever wished you had a time to go back and have a do-over? It's kind of like when you stand on the golf course on the first tee. My buddy would tee off and he would hook one hard into the briars and the brambles and he'd look around at me and say, one mulligan per round? Because he wanted another shot. If Warren was in front of me, he would have never hit one there. I'd have been the one looking at him and Warren would have gone, no. Go find it, son. Go find it. I'd love to have some do-overs. I told Jeff yesterday when we were talking, I said, I look back on raising Spencer and being a dad, and there's things that I wish I could have done differently. I wish I had done differently. But you know what? You can't go back and fix that. But one thing, if we didn't do anything else right, one thing I can say about me and Ginger is we brought him to church. And I don't mean we sent him. We didn't pull up in the parking lot and kick him out of the car and then we go home. We came together. And my Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from. But I have staked my son's very life on that. And when that grandchild comes along, I'm going to put their life into that promise as well. Moses says, teach the Word of God to your children. And he said to do it diligently. You know what that means? Be serious about it. That means be serious about it. Be proactive about it. Take those teachable moments that your kids give you. That's why he goes on to talk about when you're walking and when you're sitting down and when you're sleeping, when you're by your gates of your house and when you are using your hands and your eyes. In other words, there ought not to be any moment of our life or any place in our life where we don't honor the Word of God and take opportunities to teach it to our children. Parents, we have been given an expressed responsibility from God to teach our children the Word of God. It's our job to teach them what the Bible says about the death and the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ, about God's promises to us, about the inerrant Word of God, about the church, about service, about love and humility and grace and kindness and other virtues. Because the relevancy of today's Bible in ethics and politics and relationships and everything else, because the Bible is just as relevant in 2020 as it was the day it was penned. It is absolutely imperative that we teach our children to learn the Word of God. It is imperative because the future of the home and the church, and I would go so far as to saying even society, depends on their knowing the Word of God. If we lose even one generation, we've lost them all. We really have. So parents, it is your job to ensure that they're taught. And the second thing I want to call your attention to is this. God has blessed us in this generation with a gift of Sunday school. And in our church, we have got some wonderful Sunday school teachers. You know, really, this is kind of funny. I'll give you a quick little history lesson. The idea of Sunday school, it didn't really exist until the 1800s. And even then, a lot of people resisted sending their children to Sunday school. And do you know, this is interesting, this will blow your mind, do you know why people resisted sending their children to Sunday school? Here's a novel idea. Because people thought, well, that's the job of the parents in the home. We've kind of turned that one on our heads, haven't we? Sometimes parents have abdicated their responsibility and they send them to Sunday school to get taught. And Sunday school originally was resisted because parents said that should be taught in the home. You're taking away what I'm supposed to be doing. George Barna, who does a lot of church research, actually did a survey on Sunday school a few years back. And he came to this conclusion. He said, Sunday schools simply do not provide the quality of teaching and experience that people demand these days in exchange for their time. Now, I don't disagree that people are looking for quality teaching, but we all are looking for quality in everything that we do. And I can tell you, we have got some excellent teachers. I get so much out of our Sunday school lessons. And I will tell you this, it is amazing how many times there are things mentioned in Sunday school that go right along with our message here. I want a Sunday school like we have, where we can discuss items, where we can talk about things. It's a place where we can ask questions. It's a place where we can learn things that we didn't learn before. I want to share with you, there's a pastor in Tyler, Texas. He has Green Acres Baptist Church. And his name is Paul Powell. And several years ago, they implemented a strategy to really focus on their Sunday school. And I want you to listen, and I want to read this to you, that he wrote. He said, the real strength of a church is its Sunday school. It's the small class on an age group basis that discipleship takes place and a caring and sharing fellowship is established. When church growth is built on the strength of the preacher's personality alone, it will not be lasting, because when the pastor moves on, attendance will drop. We have tried to avoid that in our church. We have majored on building a strong, Bible-centered Sunday school so that no matter who is in the pulpit, the church will continue to grow and prosper. Let me tell you the results. In an 8-year period, that church went from 711 members to 1,807. And it didn't happen on the back of Paul Powell. It happened because of Sunday school. Sunday school. There's a reason we place an emphasis on our Sunday school program, and let me give you just a couple very briefly, because that's where real discipleship takes place. When you come to the worship service, I'm glad you do, but you only get what I can dole out in an hour. One Sunday, I thought about this. I'm not going to do it today. Don't panic. But I thought about putting together about a 3-hour sermon and not telling y'all. And I thought, you know, I'll just get in the pulpit about 12:30 and I'll just go to preaching and I'll get done about 3:30. And it would be interesting to see how many are left. And of the ones that are left, how many don't have rocks in their hand to hit me when I walk outside? I know we need to keep this to about an hour, and I get that. I understand that. Try to be at least aware of everyone's time. But we need to make time to be disciples of Christ. Jesus' 12 inner circle followed him day and night for 3.5 years, and they were still left uncertain when he got ready to leave. Can we devote 1 hour a week, 52 hours a year? Think about this. I don't think I'm asking too much. Can we devote 1 hour a week to coming and learning in Sunday school? That's where we become true disciples of Christ, where we learn what it means to follow Christ. We're Skip. Skip, here this morning. Skip told me Wednesday night, we were locking up, and he and Miss D were walking out with Ginger, and I heard him. He mentioned Ginger. He said, "I love our Sunday morning services, but I really like Wednesday nights and Sunday nights because we get in to things a little deeper, because we have the time to do that." Let me encourage you, be a part of our Sunday school. Learn what it means to be a true disciple. Another reason to be involved in Sunday school, parents, it is a good way to augment what you're already doing at home. I believe the Word of God needs to be taught to our children at home. That's what Moses was talking about. And we better be teaching them. But Sunday school is not meant to take that out of your hands, but it's meant to supplement that. And by the way, we've got some real good programs that are getting ready to get teed up with apologetics, don't we, Chris? And you know what a lot of our young people need today? They need, when their peers come up to them and say, "Why do you believe what you believe?" they need to have an answer. Where are they going to learn that? I know of a place, a safe place, that they can learn it, hear from qualified people, and ask questions. It can augment what is being done at home. Another reason is relationships are built in Sunday school. I remember when Ginger and I were youth directors here at church, way before I went into the ministry, when Rivka's mom was part of our youth group. And you know what? We fast forward 30 plus years. And you know what? I see that group. They're still tight, aren't they, Miss Janet? They're strung out from coast to coast. But you get them together, and it's like they never left. They're still nuts, just like they were back then. Relationships are made in Sunday school. One of my favorite stories, and it's going to be in that little book I write. One day, Ginger was teaching many years ago a group of kids down the hall here, and she asked the kids, and one of them around that table was Chris Bagley, wasn't it? And Ginger asked them to write on a paper the name of their favorite, their best friend. And Ginger's walking around the table and she's looking at him. She got to Chris Bagley and he wrote Jesus. And Ginger thought, oh, isn't that sweet? She said, Chris, yes, Jesus is our best friend. Chris looked at her and said, well, he's really not, but my best friend is James Allen Kennedy, but I didn't know how to spell it. One of my favorite stories. Chris is a minister now. Did anything he learned in Sunday school, even funny like that, influence that path? Only God knows. But we build those relationships, and one of the best relationships we build in Sunday school is our relationship with Jesus Christ. I've stood in front of this communion table more times than I could count when I was a little boy, and I sang deep and wide. Sang the Itsy Bitsy Spider. You know, do Lord. And you know what? All that does is tell my age, but I will tell you this. It was at those earliest times where I gained a foundation of what it means to love Jesus Christ. Now, I will tell you this. I got some people here that went to school with me, and y'all know that I was never perfect and never will be. Did things that I wish I'd never done. But I will tell you this. Always in the back of my mind, was Jesus loves me. This I know. Because I learned it here. And even though I didn't have the type of relationship I needed with Jesus, I knew that there was one that was possible. Relationships. So I'm going to ask you to have a vision for our Sunday school. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. So I want you to have a vision for Sunday school. Look around you. We just had a celebration about getting back in to our sanctuary a couple months back. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Everything restored, painted, the carpeting, the paint. This is beautiful. Somebody had a vision of what this was going to look like. And look around you. It's a reality. Now I'm going to ask you, what is your vision for Sunday school? Miss Janet Codispoti is going to have a conniption fit when I say this. But we've got a lot of good Sunday school classes in place. But you know what? I was just making a list here. I'd love to have a seniors class. I'd love to have a new members class. I'd love to have a class that deals with topical studies. I'd love to have about 20 Sunday school classes in this church. And your first question is, where are we going to put them? You know what? I believe if God brings us to it, He'll make a way. Let's don't worry about how. Let's just worry about, do we have the vision and the desire to get there? Teachers, don't be content with just 2 or 5 or 10 in your class. Look for people that can come in. Look for people that aren't going. I think Miss Janet mentioned today we have 111 or 10 on the Sunday school roll, and we average about 70 or 80. We need to have a lot more coming. So let me ask you this. Will you try? Will you participate? D.L. Moody once said, he scribbled this in his Bible. He said, if God be your partner, don't make any little plans. I believe that. And I believe God wants to do big things through our church and through us using this people. We can only do and try. If we only do and try what we think we've got our own power to accomplish, then we're leaving God out of it. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about acting on faith. Acting on faith. So have enough enthusiasm to care. If somebody misses time in your class, reach out to them. Stick it out. Stick it out. Don't get discouraged when things look a little bit bleak. Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's our first and our greatest duty. We can never be the parent or teacher we could until we've nurtured our relationship with God first. So if you're here this morning and you've never entered into a relationship with God, you need to know the day that you stand before Him guilty as a sinner. That's not my words, that is the words of the Bible. You may not feel like a sinner, you may not do a lot of the bad things that you hear about on TV, but in God's eyes, if we don't have a relationship with Him, we are against Him. We need to accept the sacrifice that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son as payment for our sins. And He says, and I learned this in Sunday school, if I will admit that I'm a sinner, the A, and then I will believe, B, in my heart that God is raising from the dead, and if I will see, confess Him with my mouth, A, B, C, I will be saved. And once you're saved, let me encourage you to get involved in Sunday school that can help you be that disciple of Christ that you need to be. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved, but you need to follow Him in some other thing. Maybe He's been dealing with you about something else in your life. Maybe not only to get involved in Sunday school, but maybe be a part of this. I love it when people come to me and they say, Pastor Roger, God's been dealing with my heart that I need to work. I want to work with our youth, or I want to sing in the choir, or I want to be in the music ministry, or I want to do this. I love that. And we've got a lot of that going on here at Palatine. Maybe God's dealing with you to make Sunday school a part of your life. Do you realize that according to the Word of God that we read this morning, that learning about God and putting Him first in everything that you do and learn it, loving Him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, it will not only benefit you, but it will benefit your generations that follow, because you'll have something that you can teach them. This altar is open today for whatever need you might have this morning. But if you have nothing else to pray for, come this morning and pray for our Sunday school program, that God would use it to bring more souls to Him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, what a wonderful time it has been in Your house today. And now as we've come to this time of decision, I pray, Lord, that You would touch hearts and change lives. This time is Yours, Lord. Forgive us of where we have fallen so short of Your mercy and grace, and convict us of our sins, and help us to seek the forgiveness that You offer today. We wait now, Father, upon You and what You will do. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.